Welcome to Born on a Saturn, your daily guide to cosmic insight and artistic inspiration. I am Deb, here to walk you through this week's horoscope, shaped by the current planetary movement. Remember to check your sun, rising and moon sign for a complete view. The universe is speaking. Don't miss it. Here we are discussing the energies and the events for the last 2 weeks of November, from November 14. If you haven't yet, I suggest you to listen to the previous episode about the energies of the first 2 weeks of November to understand what we are transitioning from. It is important to remember that in astrology, transits don't just activate their meanings at the exact moment they occur. There is a kind of temporal window extending a bit before and after, where we still feel the echo of those energies. As always, I have individuated two main themes to talk about the energies of this period. These last 2 weeks of November are quite active. Many celestial events unfold and the energies at play are a lot and very significant. One of the most pivotal is Pluto's official entry into Aquarius, which we will discuss shortly. However, I would like to begin by focusing on an event happening tomorrow, November 15, involving my favorite planet, Saturn. Tomorrow, Saturn resumes its direct motion, thus ending its retrograde phase. You already know that I don't view retrogradation as entirely negative, partly because such a strict dichotomy doesn't exist in astrology, which is a system of symbols existing in energy. Moreover, labeling anything as purely negative or positive, especially in transit interpretation, which is somehow predictive, would be overly simplistic. To me, retrogradation is obviously a slowdown, which aligns perfectly with our perception of this movement. It's a deceleration that can be complex or challenging, but when approached with awareness, it presents opportunities. What is sure, however, is that when the planet in question goes direct again, there is a surge of energy, a resurgence of the planet's full expressive nature. In this particular case, we are talking about the planet of education, structure, our mentor, our teacher. It represents our lessons, those that we must integrate. It also represents, above all, our ability to express resilience.
Thank you for joining me on Born on the Saturn today. I hope the stars gave you the insight you needed. Be sure to tune in tomorrow for more cosmic guidance. And if you want to connect or have any questions, find me on Instagram or visit burnandthesaturn.com. Until next time, keep shining under the stars.
Final farewell to Pluto in this lifetime. There is no doubt that they will feel a relief, a new, perhaps long-awaited lightness. And so here we are at the first theme of this period, lightness, which is the first keyword I want to propose to you. It might sound a bit strange because I'm discussing Saturn, Pluto, and soon the full moon in Taurus, and it's peculiar that I choose this word rather than, for example, structure. Yes, because Saturn going direct also means lightness, which is not superficiality, on the contrary. Saturn is the planet of structure, organization, seriousness. Going direct means we will be able to embrace these values with more clarity, with more awareness. Moreover, we can't forget that it is currently in Pisces, so we are talking about emotion here. We are talking about creativity, the ability to organize one's emotion and perhaps use them to create. Especially for those who have significant placement in Pisces, specifically around the 13th degree. And for those with placements around this degree in Cancer or Scorpio, this sense of lightness will bring a lot of creative capacity. On the same day, November 15, we will also have a full moon in Taurus. Now, it's tough to talk about lightness during a full moon because symbolically it's usually an intense period when we feel the need to release everything that weighed us down, but also to focus on what truly matters. However, in this case, in Taurus, opposite the sun in Scorpio, this full moon screams lightness. I'm focusing especially on the symbolism of the opposition to Scorpio, which invites depth, analysis, and an exploration of the darker dimension of things. Meanwhile, Taurus, the quintessential Venusian sign, speaks of grace and the joy of living. A good meal, a glass of wine, Here, it's essential to focus on the present moment. There is a mindfulness exercise that always reminds me of Taurus symbolism, which is the mindful meal. While you eat, you focus on the present moment, on the bite in your mouth, on the taste, on what you are feeling. It's so surprising how often we do things without really experiencing them. And it's almost as if we aren't really doing them at all. But when we focus on the present, we realize the value of experiences. This is the message of this full moon, I believe. And we can embrace it with the lightness that allows us to turn off the autopilot. Another celestial event that screens lightness, at least for now, is for sure Pluto officially leaving Capricorn on November 19. This isn't Pluto's first entry into Aquarius, as it was temporarily back in Capricorn due to retrograde motion. What's truly significant now is that he's leaving Capricorn, not to return in our lifetimes. Obviously, for the cardinal signs, this movement corresponds to a sense of lightness as they can turn the page and close a chapter once for all. Even Capricorn itself, and I'm referring not only to those with their sign in Capricorn, but also to those with significant placements in the last degree of the sign, will feel an inevitable shift. I don't mean to say that having Pluto in your sign necessarily means living with a burden. That would be misleading. And that's not my intention. I'm not assigning value judgments to the theme of lightness. I don't mean to suggest that lightness is good and intensity is bad. What I'm trying to convey is that something ending or something beginning carries with it that liminal sensation when we return, at least temporarily, to the present. If you want to know exactly what I think about Pluto's long stay in Aquarius, I've written an article that you can find on my blog and also here in the description. In it, I discuss what I believe it will bring, and I'm really excited for this new era because I'm sure it will bring the changes we have been needing so much. Finally, there is another important event that I've chosen to discuss through the theme of lightness, and that's the Sun's entry into Sagittarius on November 22nd. This marks the end of the captivating Scorpio season, which I've discussed in the last 2 weekly episodes of the podcast. If you haven't listened yet, I recommend doing so now to try and understand if you felt the energies I talked about and if there is anything you recognize or can now understand. I often try to absorb astrology retrospectively rather than trying to predict. I try to understand. So, Sagittarius season begins, a season that is super exuberant, expansive, joyful, and exploratory. Here we are in the realm of Jupiter, and thus everything that means abundance. And here too, you might think, what does abundance have to do with lightness? Well, Sagittarius is anything but light. In fact, it's the sign that most symbolizes connection with knowledge, wisdom, and awareness. But it also with the passion and energy of a fire sign without second thoughts or pattern. It's the sign of Jupiter and also of Neptune. Think about Mercury, which in Sagittarius is in detriment, and these alone tell us that Sagittarius promotes lightness over the heaviness of reasoning of our mind. Its lesson is to open up with trust and optimism and therefore with lightness. And so, having come from an intense period where depth was the main theme, let's now dedicate ourselves to lightness, acting with awareness, not superficiality. So let's devote ourselves to feeling before thinking. On the same day as the Sun enters the first degree of Sagittarius, it forms a very, very nice sextile with Pluto in Aquarius. Although it's a brief aspect, it's particularly fluid and, in my opinion, revisits the concept of lightness. Aquarian themes encourage to be more open, to delve into unknown worlds, new worlds with curiosity rather than fear, and this sextile reminds us of that. Here is my advice. Consider this a small instruction from an oracle. Try something new, something that seems far from your usual habits. For example, try that vegan cake and focus on the flavors. Those who have read my article on Pluto in Aquarius will know that I firmly believe this Aquarian Plutonian era will bring a significant social change, starting especially with food. Think about this, every year 18 billion animals are killed worldwide. That's a truly shameful number. Try to imagine how much pain we are producing. But there is a healthier alternative. And approaching this idea with lightness, without prejudice, I am sure that things are changing and that Pluto in Aquarius is one of the key for this change. I'll soon do an episode solely on Pluto in Aquarius, but now let's go back to the last 2 weeks of November. There is another theme I would like to discuss, which might seem a bit at odds with the first, but that's astrology. I mean, many things happen at the same time and they are not always harmonious, much like our life, our emotion, our thoughts. The second theme is space, referring to both mental and physical realms. And the first aspect concerning this theme occurs on November 16, involving the Sun in Scorpio, opposing Uranus in Taurus. Here we have two huge forces clashing, one that represents our identity and the other our ability to break the molds that make up our identity. The space we are looking for here is where we can feel free to destroy even what we have created with effort, if it no longer corresponds to who we are now. The challenge is in allowing ourselves the private space to go behind, to end projects, for example, even if we have dedicated a lot of work to them. And remember that one of the greatest freedoms we can grant ourselves is the ability to change course whenever and however we want. Then on November 18, another event intensified this theme of space, namely the opposition between Mercury in Sagittarius and Jupiter in Gemini. Here again, two forces oppose each other, one concerning our capacity to expand and the other concerning our thought process and rationality. The space we need here is one that allows us to make mistakes, to embark even without a precise plan, to experiment. Think of a great painting. To achieve an excellent result, there are layers where everything seems just wrong, ugly, incomplete. If we aim for the perfection right from the start, we might never begin. However, if we accept that it is a process built layer by layer, we start making mistakes, trying, learning. Let's give ourselves the space to be imperfect and also confused, because that's okay. Finally, still discussing the space we need, another significant event will occur on November 25th. Involving Mercury, which will begin its retrograde motion in Sagittarius. This perfectly illustrates the concept of space, I think, because it emphatically demands just one thing: space. We need our own space for ourselves, for whatever we want to do, think or say. Of course, it's up to us to create this space, and it's up to us to allow ourselves to leave it. We are in Sagittarius, and here the space is both mental and practical. It's really about trying to find the time and resources to do what we feel needs our attention. We might feel this need specifically when we are frustrated by the fact that there seems to be no space, basically. And here is where the other theme, lightness, comes into play. We can try to face this challenge by taking some risk, shifting priorities, or simply adapt to the flow and create space without thinking about the consequences, focusing on the fact that our lives, as well as our emotion and our needs, are not fixed. They are flexible, they change, and with them, our management of life must also change. I would say that this particularly active period of these 2 weeks is teaching us this. Or if we already know it, let's say it's a healthy reminder. We are in constant change, and adapting to this is the best way to truly live connected with the desire of our soul. As always, I remind you that in this special episode, I don't list all the aspects that occur in the sky, but only those that I consider most relevant for discussing the themes I think are most important. If you want to stay updated, you can visit the website or connect with me on Instagram. I'll see you next time. Thank you for joining me on Born on the Saturn today. I hope the stars gave you the insight you needed. Be sure to tune in tomorrow for more cosmic guidance. And if you want to connect or have any questions, find me on Instagram or visit burnandthesaturn.com. Until next time, keep shining under the stars.